This episode contains themes of mental illness and suicide. Viewer discretion is advised.
Podcast over, guys. Solved. Cops, come and call us. We'll collect our rewards soon.
I think we can just end all crime at this point.
Yeah. No, crime is over, everyone.
We did
crime
it, boys.
Crime is
cancelled. Mr. Obama, we did it.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Prime Time True Crime Podcast. I'm Robin.
I'm Brody.
And today we have a special guest.
Hello, I'm Nick. Nice to meet you, virtually.
Today we'll be covering, I won't be covering a case today, I've taken a break, but Brody's going to take us through the Elisa or Eliza. Is it Elisa or Eliza?
I think it's Eliza,
from what I've heard.
Eliza Lamb case.
Yeah, so for once I did research. It's a first to me. I was quite nervous. I'm very bad at it, so that's okay. So basically, do you guys know much about the Eliza Lamb case?
Well, when I used to go on my little like 3 a.m. true crime mysteries that haven't been solved binges on YouTube, I found this one, and for some reason, it's kind of just stuck in my head for like years.
Yeah.
And I only recently thought about it when you posted that you want requests, and I was like, all right, they have to jump onto this one.
I think I found today, I was rewatching the clip of her in the elevator, and it's like the most surreal thing to watch. You feel like...
I know, it's so surreal. It's like, what the hell is going on?
It's almost like you feel like someone's watching you while you watch it. Like, it feels like something you shouldn't be able to watch in a weird way.
I feel like it should be illegal to be watched. It's like on Live Leak.
Yeah, Live Leak vibe. Robin, do you know much about this case?
Yes, I remember a few years we did a deep dive, I think, through a lot of, like, dark web sort of
and
stuff.
And, like, BuzzFeed Unsolved. Yeah.
And then yesterday, we had a quick look at it before we did the episode tonight, and it was, like, solved. And I was like, what? No. And then we clicked on the link, and it was no new information, so...
Yeah,
this is a very internet sleuth case. It's one of those ones, too, where it wouldn't be popular if it wasn't for the internet, kind of... You know, getting a hold of the footage and kind of putting it out there for something to be solved. It's a nice little, internet mystery.
Exactly.
So we start off, basically, to tell the Eliza Lamb story, you kind of have to tell the story of the hotel itself. So the hotel is known for several gruesome and strange events. So basically suicides, housing murders themselves, paranormal activities, that sort of thing. So
we should just quickly say, this is the Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, so it's currently known as the Stay on Main. They've had a kind of a name change and brand kind of switch altogether. I assume that's because of the history they want to leave behind, but yeah. So basically, this hotel is so famous for these kind of murders. It's actually the setting for the American Horror Story TV show, Season 5 Hotel. Have you guys seen that?
I have.
I do not know that.
So basically, I think in the TV show, Robin, if I remember correctly, they do...
H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, they kind of mix H.H. Holmes in with the Cecil Hotel, so I think Ramirez is in the episode itself, isn't he?
Yeah, at the Devil's Night, where there's Eileen Warner, yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer, and Richard Ramirez.
I think Lizzie Short also makes an appearance?
I think so, yeah. She's found dead outside the hotel. They try and do a thing
which is,
with that.
Yeah, which is kind of all linked to that, which we'll get into. So basically, what I thought we'd do as a little fun is we'd break up the timeline between the hotel pre... Eliza Lamb, and then we'll go into the Eliza Lamb case itself and talk about some theories and that sort of thing. Sound good to you guys?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Alright, so feel free to interrupt any time to add some more info or ask questions or anything, but I'm just going to be reading from a script for now, so let's get started. So in 1924, the Cecil Hotel, currently known as the Stay on Main, as we said, was built by William Bank Hanna in Los Angeles, America. Once again, sorry to our American audience, I have no idea where LA is.
Not to be confused with Los Angeles, China.
I didn't even know there was one in China. There
I think
you go.
That's the joke, Robin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, once again, American. I think this is on the west coast of America, but I'm not quite sure. I'm so sorry, American audience. Feel free to inform
is
me.
Is Los Angeles in California? Are they two different things?
I think it is in California.
Okay.
Oh, what? Man.
Very research podcast. So through the hotel, became known for many accounts of violence and suicides. So several years after opening the hotel, so about 5 years later, the world would go through what would famously be called the Great Depression. Do you guys know much about the Great Depression?
Yeah, 2020, right?
Basically, But back a century before, in 1920-ish era, just post-World War One, after the world kind of got over World War One, they had an increase in spending and sort of luxurious taste in that, and then that was slowly followed by the market basically collapsing upon itself, kind of like we're seeing with COVID, or might potentially go through in the next couple of years as we recover ourselves.
Yeah.
So the area surrounding the hotel, known as Skid Row, would become home to countless homeless Americans.
I'm pretty sure this is a song by like a 80s like hair metal band.
Yeah,
Skid Row. Or it's a band. I think there's
that's the name of the band.
Yeah, I was close.
Skid Row is very big in like pop culture, the idea of it. So basically, a bunch of homeless Americans would find their way to this place, which led to some of the incidents in the hotel itself, as, you know, the area around the hotel often reflects the hotel itself. So despite what the hotel's original purpose was, it soon became kind of like a lower-end hotel for people with not that much income, just due to the situations around it.
Yeah.
So in 1931, we get our first account of a suicide within the hotel. So guest W.K. Norton died in his room after he took some poison capsules, and then basically suicides became a common theme in this hotel between the 40s and 50s. So basically people who were homeless and already were kind of in that mood, like they go to the hotel, it became known as like a suicide hotel, that sort of thing.
That's great for marketing. Come here and end your life, essentially.
Yeah, so basically the hotel went from having an image of, you know, homeless, kind of lower level people staying in it, to now being a home of like a suicide as well. So not a great reputation. So in 1947, Elizabeth Short, who we all famously know as the Black Dahlia, was reported drinking at the hotel's bar just days before her death. So Elizabeth Short was an aspiring actor. I don't think we're doing Elizabeth Short anytime soon, are we?
Well, we might cover it one day.
Maybe
you
one
do
day.
Like that case.
I love her case. So she was known for frequenting bars in order to kind of meet producers from Hollywood around the time, and that's kind of adds weight to the reports of her being there. Like it kind of fits her character to frequent these bars. So there's a possibility that she would be there. That's the only real connection she has to the hotel. A lot of people think that she was killed there, but.
Is that because of the American Horror Story mix-up?
Yeah, so basically pop culture feeds into what we think reality is, and people think that she was murdered at the hotel, when in fact there's no evidence of that.
She was murdered in Los Angeles, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, so that's why they think that she was also frequenting bars, and it's quite likely she was at this bar. This was... I included this 1962 case. I think it's... I don't want to say cases are funny, like murder obviously isn't funny, let's be real for a second, but this one is quite humorous, in a sick, twisted way. So in 1962, after having an argument with her 65-year-old partner, named George. Yeah, this one's, oh my god. Named George, I'm just going to call him George, I can't pronounce that last name. So his 27-year-old partner, Pauline, wrote a suicide note and then proceeded to jump from her 9th floor hotel room. As she jumped, her partner who she had an argument with, Otton, was walking past. And as he kind of walked past, she fell on top of him.
Oh.
And her suicide resulted in his death as well.
So he was walking on the footpath out the front of the hotel.
Yeah, and as she jumped from the thing as like a suicide attempt, he was walking past. And the person she was having an argument with just moments before her suicide, she ended up taking with her in a kind of ironic twist of fate. And the police originally weren't quite sure what had happened with this thing, whether they both jumped or that sort of thing. But after examining the body of George and seeing he had his hands still in his pockets, they ruled that he probably didn't commit suicide from jumping, because jumping from a hotel room with your hands in your pockets is quite an unlikely situation. So they deemed that what probably happened is she fell on top of him.
Normally people like put their hand, like even if they're intending to.
Yeah, fight or flight.
They still put their hands out as a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 1964, we get another case of murder from the hotel. So this is an unsolved murder of someone. They're called Pigeon Goldie Osgood. Pigeon Goldie, obviously a nickname. So Osgood was a lady who frequently fed pigeons at a nearby Pershing Square, which is where the nickname comes from. And she was a telephone operator, and she was found dead within her hotel room. So in 1980s, serial killer Richard Ramirez, known as the Night Stalker, who I think we're covering soon, aren't we?
Yeah, so not to be confused with who I got confused with when I was listening to Case File, actually does a 5-step part on the Golden State Killer, the East Area Rapist, or the Night Stalker. Not to be confused with the Golden State Killer. Richard Ramirez is a separate thing.
Yep. So he was rumored to have stayed at the Cecil Hotel for a few weeks. And this we kind of noticed from rooms at the Cecil were very cheap at the time, and they had a reputation for being a hangout for sort of junkies and lower types. So there is weight to these rumours that he was staying at the hotel, but obviously another kind of killer figure linked with the hotel itself.
Did he kill anyone in the hotel that we're aware of?
No accounts that we know of. Which, the only weight we have to this story is that it would make sense for him to be staying at these hotels.
He was just staying there. He wasn't doing...
Yeah. So we've been around 84, 85, probably when his killing streak took off. But this will inform the next case. So in 1991, serial killer Jack Untenweger was staying at the hotel. He was working for an Austrian magazine which focused on crime. So basically, the 1991 equivalent of whatever the fuck we're doing. With an Austrian flair instead of an Australian one. So whilst there, Untenweger strangled and killed three sex workers, strangling them with their own lingerie. People think that he was trying to attempt to copy Ramirez by killing sex workers and obviously the link to hotel, which was never verified. So someone who had a focus on crime maybe should have realised that there wasn't that much evidence to say Ramirez stayed there, but all right.
He was just having a holiday. He didn't do any of his
work. No, he was there for work.
Oh, he was on a working holiday.
Yeah, he was doing the Austrian crime magazine.
No, I meant Richard Ramirez.
Oh, I don't know.
Was Richard there for work?
No, he just killed around that time and area. Man was broke. And that leads us to 2013, Eliza Lamb, or Lisa, or however you say it. So, 2013, our tale starts. So, on January 26th, 21-year-old Canadian Eliza Lamb, I'm just going to say Eliza. I'm going to stick with Eliza.
It's Eliza. It is Eliza.
She travels to California by herself for a four-day vacation. She was a student at the University of British Columbia. I'm not quite sure what she was studying. So this trip was part of Lamb's trip around the west coast of America, and she kept in constant contact with her family up until her disappearance, and this was due to her family's concerns of her going by herself. So the compromise she made was, if I get to go, I'll stay in constant contact, but and I get to go by myself, and they agreed to these terms.
Yep, that's fair.
As we know, will become very unfortunate over the next couple of days for them. So we skip ahead to January 31st. This is the last sighting of Lamb we have. At the Cecil, her parents, after not receiving their daily phone call from her, contacted the local Los Angeles Police Department. The police searched but could not find Eliza on the premises of the Cecil.
I thought they had to wait 24 hours.
Well, obviously, they were quite concerned. She's an international student, so they may have been like, hey, can we just have a quick look at the hotel and maybe investigate? The police would have been like, well, you are keeping daily contact and she's broke her pattern here.
Yeah.
So I assume they'd make a situation there. Oh, it might have also not been that big of an investigation. It might have just been a police officer going... Which I assume was what happened. So Katie Orphan, owner of, ironically, The Last Bookshop, recalls seeing Lamb buying books and music for her family members in Vancouver on this day. And it is quite heavily believed that Katie Orphan was the last person on record who saw Lamb alive.
Apart from the camera in the hotel.
Well, that's not a person.
No.
So, don't think that counts.
No.
So basically we have an international student who's on holiday, going missing, who had a constant stream of communication with her family. So quite unusual. So on February 1st, we get the famous footage of Lamb acting strange in the hotel elevator. Very famous footage. I think it has over 20 million views of yours watching, so quite well known.
Yes.
This footage shows Lamb walking into the empty elevator. So I looked at what other people say happened in the video, then I watched myself. These are my personal interpretations of what happened. If you guys think something else happened or saw something else...
I've kind of written down my theory.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that.
Yeah, we'll get to theories. We'll get to theories at the end. I have a couple as well, but this is what I saw happen. So she walks into the empty elevator. She leans down next to buttons. She presses buttons for multiple floors. And then after she does that, she darts her head out the door of the elevator, kind of looking around. She then proceeds...
This is really, like, panicky. This isn't just casually looking out.
No, it's like a dart, yeah.
Darting back and forth, like...
Yeah. She then proceeds to kind of hug the wall against the elevator and kind of end up in the corner of the elevator, hands kind of close to her midsection, kind of just, like, hiding out of view. And I've lost where I was
just
reading
for context,
from.
Just for context, you can't see anyone out of frame.
Yeah.
She
then continues to step in and out of the elevator, moving to the left-hand side out of the vision of cameras at one point. It is in this time that it appears Lamb is communicating with something. We can't quite see what that something is in the video. She then walks back into the elevator again, throwing her hands from her ears, like outwards, like a kind of ah expression. If you guys could picture the physical ah expression. Before going back to play with the floor button. So she kind of like, I thought the video was looping, but she just does the same action again where she leans down and keeps pressing floor buttons.
Just thinking in my head though, like the first time you get an elevator, you want a specific floor. So you press the floor and then I'm feeling like if it's not working, is she smashing?
We will come to this, a theory about this later.
Okay. Yes.
She then exits the elevator again to the left-hand side. This time, it is quite clear that she is showing signs of communicating with something to the left of the screen. This includes verbal, like, gestures with her mouth. The mouth is quite blurred, so making out the words is probably impossible, but also non-verbal signs such as movement with her hands and body. She then walks off to the left of the screen before the elevator doors finally close, and this clip lasts around 2 to 3 minutes in total. So, back to your...
That's all we got.
Yeah, that's the last footage we'll ever see of her. And to get to your point about broken elevator, Robin, the elevator was working. After view, you see the doors close, go to another floor, and then close again. Okay. So the elevator clearly worked. And
I just have problems with mashing the buttons if there's not something wrong.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I wonder if you and I have the same theory about the button pressing.
She's mashing the A button. That's what it is.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah, quick time event came
it's
up.
It's technically a game, but...
Alright, do you want to explain your theory?
I'll just finish the rest of, to give Robin a bit more help. We'll go through the rest of the case, then we'll get to the theory at the end, because there's quite a few I saw. So, it's interesting to note that this would have been also the day that Lam was due to check out of the hotel, and obviously she never did this.
Yep.
So we flash forward to February 19th, in which...
Almost three weeks
later.
The supposed death, by the way.
3 weeks, so quite a long time.
Wow, plot twist.
So Lam's body was found on a water tank on the roof of the hotel by a maintenance worker whose name I found. It was Santiago Lopez.
That's a very suspicious name.
I reckon it was him. No. at around 10 a.m., her body was naked and her death was deemed accidental and due to drowning, which,
yes.
No shit, she's in a tank full of water. But clearly that shows that maybe she wasn't assaulted or anything before. The death was definitely the drowning, not like a blunt force trauma or something like that.
Which I'd be able to say.
Plus, there was actually, in the autopsy or whatever, there was no evidence of physical trauma.
Yeah.
Or like sexual assault or anything like
but
that.
But we'll get to the autopsy later because there's a little bit of dodginess around there.
Oh, okay.
So the maintenance workers, the reason he was up there, he was tasked with checking the situation with the water tank. After several complaints about low pressure from the hotel and the water kind of being discolored and having a bad smell and taste.
Oh.
Robin, you've seen...
I saw that video last night of, like...
Brown water.
Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
And people say they had, like, bathed in it.
I saw several first-hand accounts, or read them, sorry, of people who were staying at the hotel at the moment. And several people were, like, after they found out about the news of her body being in there, just threw up.
Yeah,
like, because they've been drinking, they've been bathing in this, like, obviously contaminated with bacteria, like, everything you can think of, just of a decomposing body.
Yeah, we all know what happens after a body passes away as well. That happens, and that would have been in the water.
Yeah. So, the interesting thing about her being on the roof is, like, the lack of access, or easy access, I want to say, of the roof to other patrons of the hotel. So there was an alarm and a locked door that you need to pass through to access the roof. And obviously the alarm wasn't breached because we would have heard about it. And the door was obviously still locked because otherwise that would draw suspicion. So the maintenance worker went to open the door and he's like, oh, it's...
It shouldn't have taken 3 weeks if an alarm had gone off.
Yeah, that's the worst alarm I've ever seen. So the chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department released a statement that to retrieve her body, which is about 5'6" or 5'4" around that height.
Like the depth of the tank or her height?
That's how tall her body was.
Right.
The water from the tank had to be drained completely and a hole cut into it. And that's, I included this here just to show that it was that, like, to, in order to get the body out of the tank, they had to go to that measures, the fire department. So to get her body into the tank, you'd have to have, like, been able to access the tank in a way that didn't involve cutting it open, which is how they removed her.
So they couldn't just take the lid off and, I guess...
No, that's... They're tanks. They're quite solidly shut. So
wouldn't the body...
Just use a crane!
Wouldn't the body float after death?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be floating at the top of the tank? Or couldn't they just be like, ah?
Oh. No. That's what they're saying. It was so difficult to remove it. They had to cut a hole in it and drain all the water. So for her to get in there or someone to get in there and close it, it would have been quite a task. So what this is leading to is that it probably wasn't her just accidentally climbing into the tank.
Okay.
Like, that's not really possible here.
Right.
So her toxicology...
Toxicology?
Thanks, criminology major. reports also showed that she had consumed a large number of medical drugs.
Yep, specifically.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's basically all the notes on the case.
Right.
There was issues with her... So her toxicology report was released online, and internet sleuths kind of teared apart, being like, it's missing this, this, and this, but that's also internet sleuths, so I don't know how much weight to put behind them. They said that some of the reports for drugs weren't done properly, or there wasn't some things investigated, but also I feel like I want to trust a expert rather than people on the internet who are on Reddit kind of discussing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, do you have something for me on what drugs?
Yes. So, Lam suffered from bipolar disorder.
Yep.
So, these were medical drugs to deal with that. Any theories?
No, I'm going to wait until I hear you two.
Okay.
Can I interject?
Yep.
All right. So, if you look at... she had an Instagram page. And I found it. If you look at her Instagram, the last few photos she uploaded were just like kind of photos from roofs of high buildings. So she was a bit of like a, I guess you could say, like an adrenaline junkie. She liked to climb buildings, take
like an urban explorer
kind of thing. And her Tumblr seemed to have similar posts with that kind of theme of like cityscapes and whatnot.
So kind of like urban exploring throughout. Kind of like urban exploring of buildings.
Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Right, that makes sense.
And so I reckon maybe, I'm not talking to the elevator, I mean about the elevator first, she could have gone to the top floor to try and take some photos. Maybe that's why she was going up.
Yeah.
But what I reckon, so if I can just get to my little notes things. Someone on Reddit, I know you said you don't want to, you want
to... No, I'm happy with Reddit, just not their...
But this is just this dude's theory.
I'm happy with Reddit, just not their opinions on toxicology reports.
So this toxicology, guy says, yeah. She unknowingly pressed the hold door button on the elevator panel as it was in line with all the various floor buttons she had pressed down the center column. Hotel staff say the button holds the door open for quite a while and is designed for people moving furniture so the door doesn't shut.
Yeah.
And she becomes confused when the elevator doors do not shut. So that could be the start of her kind of, like, odd behavior. Like, she's confused.
Yeah, which is why she kind of presses it multiple times, like her floor, but the button's also holding precedence to keep it open.
Yes.
It also makes sense why she would be erratic, because she thinks that she's maybe broken the elevator or...
Exactly.
You could also see her yelling out, not like yelling out to someone, but yelling out in frustration or like, oh my God. And like, that makes sense with her acting with her hands from her ears, like kind of pulling away, being like, oh.
And like then a stress kind of thing.
And then she goes straight back to the buttons. And this kind of fits in with her bipolar as well, because she could have been having...
Yeah, I was going to say that it links in quite well. Because like, you know, if you've been into an elevator in like a building you haven't really been into... You started pressing the buttons, trying to get somewhere, and it started malfunctioning, you'd be a bit like, okay.
Yeah, it probably brought upon a manic episode or something like that.
Just a bit of a panic attack.
Yeah. I'll
continue with this thing. It says she jumps around the doorway of the elevator, waves her hands, all in attempt to hopefully activate the door and close it. Confused, she again presses the hold door button. But... you know, the argument could say, like, you know, that's not how elevators work.
Yeah, because it'd still be holding precedent for the command of the open elevator. Yeah.
But she might be thinking she's, like, trapped again.
Yeah.
Like the elevator's not moving, and she wants to either go up or down, whatever. It's not moving. So she's like, well, the elevator's not working. How about the fire escape?
Yeah.
So that's where the fire escape can come in, because you were saying the door and all that was locked. we don't know anything about the fire escape. It could have led straight to the roof.
Yeah, I really like this theory. It kind of fits in. It puts something that I found a lot of theories don't have together, which is Herve going from the elevator, that behavior, to being in the tank itself.
Yeah.
And the only problem I have with this theory is how she got in the tank naked. Maybe still in a manic episode, but apparently that tank was quite hard to open.
Yeah, well, I think it may have been the police or something. They said that with the lids on the tanks, they were apparently really hard to remove in the first place, let alone from the inside.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I think there's no way it's a suicide, because, like, you know, you fall in, air quote fall in.
Yeah.
And then you've still got to replace the gate. Plus, it's filled with water. So imagine trying to move something that heavy while treading water and your feet aren't touching the ground.
I also think there's just no evidence of her being suicidal or having... Like, she was still in contact with her parents frequently. She went to a bookshop, reportedly, like, the same day. Like, these just seem like regular actions, not one that would eventually lead to her wanting to commit those actions.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's this guy's theory for how she got in the tank, sorry? Does he have one?
So, he goes on to say, she realizes the roof is one floor above, and again, she's in an adventurous mood on her last night in LA, so she decides to take a quick climb up. Perhaps she'll get some great photos or something, but she's walking around on the roof and sees the ladder that leads to the landing above the tanks. So not the actual tanks, but there's a little landing above them.
Yeah.
This dude's opinion is she jumped from the landing down to the tanks and lost her balance and fell in.
Were the tanks open?
I have no idea, but actually down here at the bottom, or towards the bottom, apparently there's a quote from a maintenance worker. I noticed
is it Santiago?
The main water tank was open and looked inside and saw an Asian woman lying face up in the water. So when the person was found, or sorry, when Eliza was found, apparently it was open.
Yeah.
Or the hatch, sorry.
So this would have been Santiago, the guy sent up to kind of find her.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I guess, and that still holds in with the coroner's report of them having to drain the water to get her out and, like, drill a hole, because there's no way to pull up her frame from that height.
Yeah, that's very true, actually.
And they probably don't want to go touching the water as it is contaminated with a decomposing body. There's probably bacteria or that sort of thing going on.
Yeah, see, it's like, there's so many different points you can touch on with this exact case. It's not like, it's not just like a, I feel like there's no answer.
Like, yeah.
There's actually no solution to this one.
I think
usually there's some kind of, like, there's a red flag or something that you're like, hold on, that doesn't really add up.
I think the frustrating thing is that all my theories, they cover one aspect, either the elevator or the tank, but none of them seem to cover both.
Yeah, and it's like, I was trying to come up with, like, kind of some little solid-ish explanation, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
She's an adventurous, kind of like happy-go-lucky person on her last night in LA.
Yeah, which makes sense for her to do something kind of big.
Which makes her, maybe she's thinking, you know what, fuck it, let's do something a bit different.
Yeah.
But then, you know, how do you, I guess, I'm pretty comfortable with my, you know, elevator panic breakdown.
I noticed before you said about her touching the buttons, we, in fact, didn't have the same theory for the button touching. I had a completely random off-the-wall one, so that's quite interesting as well.
Well, again, what else can you do? Like, we're only speculating.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there isn't a correct answer here.
I think this is one of those cases, similar like Summer to Man and those sort of ones, where we'll never really have an answer, we'll just have a bunch of good solutions, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think the thing that comes with true crime cases and kind of looking into them is that it's not like a book or a movie or something where you get an answer at the end. You're just... Things sometimes don't add up and you don't have all the information to get the answer with, so you have to kind of be happy with a maybe sort of answer.
Yeah. It's kind of like... It's like Hereditary. That spelled out everything, but it still didn't make sense at the end.
I haven't seen it all, don't spoil it.
Okay, well, go watch it.
I watched half of it, and Brody promised that he wasn't going to watch it all.
I did, I'm sorry. I think you stopped at the sign.
To watch.
You stopped at the sign scene, didn't you, Robin?
I stopped at the sister, yeah.
That's not even the worst part, but...
He's not wrong. Alright.
I had one more point I was going to say, but I forgot. Oh, yeah. With this case, for some reason, you know, I'm not huge on, like, true crime. Like, the most experience I've had with true crime is listening to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
But this, I've always thought about this for some reason, because one of the things I first think about is her parents. I don't know why, I always go to people who are related to these kinds of, like, freak accidents. Like, how do you think her parents feel, like, you know, not knowing whether their daughter was murdered or, like, accidentally died or commit suicide?
And these are the worst cases because, yeah, it's fun to kind of isolate this and just think about it in the context of what happened, but it's similar to, like, Daniel Morecambe or...
Yeah, it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah, like, well, this is a real... I said to Robin, we've talked about a bunch with, like, ethics on this podcast, and talking about these people because they are real people, and they're not characters in a little situation. Yeah. And that's always hard.
Yeah. It's where you kind of got to, like, think about it for a second. Like, before, I was getting into it, and I kind of had, like, a light bulb moment. Like, wait, this actually happened.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're talking about someone who has died, and there's always that kind of disconnect when you want to talk about, like, an intro. Like I said before, like, the interestingness of the people who committed suicide. Like, yeah, it's a kind of funny situation, but at the same time, those two people died, and it's kind of like a sick kind of morbid in-joke that... People who like true crime have.
But anyway, I think I'm pretty much done with my little say. I think, basically, to sum up, my theory is I'm sticking with my elevator not working panic situation.
Yeah, I really like that theory. It kind of feels in a lot of...
Yeah, especially with bipolar, you know, pressing this shit, you start thinking, wait, hold on. Even, like, I don't have bipolar, but I've got, like... moderate to severe, like, anxiety. And in that situation, I would be fucking flipping.
Yeah, it's a normal situation to react in when you think you've broken something that's, like, not yours.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, shit, is it working? Wait, should I keep trying? Maybe it'll start working? Or should I not touch anything because it will stop working even more?
And she's also in a, you know, she's Canadian, but that's also not American. She's technically in a foreign country as a student by herself.
Yeah, it's still... foreign.
Yeah, in a hotel where it's known for creepy shit, like...
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I wonder if she did research before going to the hotel.
I can't say I have, but I feel like something like the Hotel Cecil, like, as soon as you Google it to go stay at, you just get horror stories.
Or, like, you go to check in, it's like, I'm Eliza Lamb here to check in. It's like, are you sure you want to check in?
Yeah, and also, this is before their rebrand, so it's still called Hotel Cecil.
Oh, yeah, this was before the rebrand, huh?
Just before, yeah.
Damn. But anyway, I'm sticking with my elevator panic situation. I'm fully comfortable with that. I'm so indecisive about the end, though. Whether she fell in, I reckon she definitely went to the roof to take photos.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that, but it's between the going to the roof and being discovered, but I'm not certain.
Well, maybe listening back, one of our theories might cover that little gap for you. Hopefully.
I hope so, because, you know, starting to talk about it again, I'm getting fired up.
So, with the button-pressing sort of activity, before I said I had a different kind of theory that covered that, this one...
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit wacky. On the terms of the wacky spectrum, it's quite high.
Well, it's a wacky case, so...
So, some people have theorized that her button-pressing... could be evidence of her partaking in the Korean elevator game.
What?
So, this game involves... this is so good. This game involves pressing buttons on an elevator in a certain way in order to travel to a place called the Otherworld.
Oh.
Is this a Netflix series?
I wish it was. But apparently on the website there was a leaked kind of... kind of like a Bloody Mary but more intricate kind of thing. You know how these internet kind of games get spread around?
Yeah.
So basically, participants would press buttons on an elevator in a certain way in which they would be traveled to the other world. Getting off at certain floors led you to certain different situations. It's like a whole game. You can look into it if you guys want your own time, but it's probably too big to go into this episode. But people yeah, say that she was playing this game and her stepping out of the elevator is just checking whether she's in this other world or not. And then you can link this with her bipolar. If she was playing it, she kind of like maybe has a manic when it doesn't work, or kind of makes herself think it works or something like that, which is why she's communicating with something that's not there.
Is this
she was on maybe some psychedelics or something?
Is this leading to her like exiting out somehow on the roof and being like, I need to hide somewhere?
Yeah, so maybe she had like was on some type of drugs or a medication she didn't take properly or overtook or something like that. She's had like a kind of trip out, has thought she's in this other world sort of thing, and then ended up in the tank.
Maybe she thought the other world was inside the tank.
Yeah, or it was like a portal. So, I have several problems with this theory. I like it for a meme, but...
For a meme.
But in seriousness, for this theory to be real, right? Let's just say it's real and she really did get transferred to the other world, yeah?
Right.
That means she thought she was.
That means that in 2013, a very niche sort of Korean... So she's a Canadian, so who's in America. So Korean online internet game... Well, not internet game, sorry, like elevator game somehow found its way to her. She happened to want to try it out one day in an elevator.
A haunted hotel.
Yeah, in a haunted... Which would add to the otherworld thing. But she somehow convinced herself that this is... worked, or she's gone into a manic, or she's taken some type of pill or medication that's tricked her into thinking she is. She somehow still got up to the hotel roof and then somehow locked herself in that tank still.
All while supposedly on drugs and trying to do this game.
Yeah, with no other person spotting her.
Don't know about that one.
So this one, like I said, these theories split into two camps. Either they solve the tank issue or they solve the elevator. This one... half solves the elevator if you believe in some real weird shit, real quick.
Alright, let's go.
So, you've got to believe that this career elevator game works, for one.
Yep.
So, wait, when we say, like, other world, do we mean, like, a kind of extra-dimensional type thing?
Yeah, it's like a world within this game where you end up in if you do the buttons correctly. I will find the Korean elevator rules.
I've got my tablet here, I can look it up.
Hold on. I was Googling it before.
Korean elevator game.
It's like a... Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. So it's a, like, Oh, okay. It even tells you what...
Yeah, the steps. So if you were quite good with the video or it wasn't so shit quality, you could probably map out where she's pressing these buttons. But... Or you could also just see if she was just pressing the hold open button.
Hey, I've got I think we have a bit of tea here.
Well, go on.
I'm on the fandom.com page for the elevator game. It says here how to know if you're in the other world.
Go on.
If you're alone, you are in the other world.
Which she was.
Yep. Check.
And here's a good one.
Hold on, are you on Hide and Go Kill fandom?
Yes.
What a
electronics will not work in the other world.
What doesn't work, sorry?
Elevators. Electronics.
Electronics, which is an elevator.
Okay, this theory is starting to make sense and I hate it.
Okay, I think I need to change my plans. I need to stay on here.
Hold on. She was also in a public building with at least 10 floors.
Oh shit.
So that works out for meeting criteria for getting into this other world. The differences are all lights will be off. They weren't.
But they were in the tank.
And the only thing you'll be able to see from windows is a red cross in the distance.
Oh.
Also, out of context, how sick is the background in this fandom?
Yeah, it's actually not too bad, huh?
What a vibe.
What a vibe.
So, there's also things about what's floor. You must also not attempt this too many times.
Yeah, otherwise you might be... I like this one. If you faint in the other world and find yourself in your world, be careful. You can be pulled there and back at any given moment.
So this happens with people with suspectable souls. Or susceptible. Yeah. I'm bad at English. So, what are your thoughts on the Korean elevator game theory?
I like the concept of the game, but I don't know how well it ties into this case.
Yeah, no.
You know, also at the same time, like, to start the game, you need to press, what is it, 8 buttons, which kind of lines up with what she was doing.
But also, the elevator staying open for that long while she's pressing a button that doesn't keep it open.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh.
So,
just in.
Step 2 is press the second floor, right?
Yeah.
Here, it says, to return to your world, you must go back to the same elevator and press the same buttons, only if you leave the 10th floor. But here it says, after you reach the first floor, check your surroundings carefully. So, what if this elevator footage we've got... Again, I'm just buying into the series just for a minute to be kind of outlandish.
Just for a meme, right?
But let's pretend, right? Let's pretend this is kind of legit.
Okay.
It says here... After you reach the first floor, check your surroundings carefully. If anything seems off, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. If you detect something wrong, repeat step 2 until your surroundings look as you should. Oh, sorry, look as they should.
So that
once you are confident you have returned to your own world, you may exit the elevator.
That makes sense of her darting in and out.
Going in, looking out.
Hiding in the corner and then pressing the buttons.
What if this footage of Eliza isn't her going to the roof?
Oh, no.
It's her exiting this dimension.
And she just teleports to the roof.
This theory shouldn't be so...
Why does this work?
This theory shouldn't work.
Maybe... Oh, man.
Have we solved it? Something. Boys, I think we solved it.
Wait, guys, I'm getting a call from the FBI.
Yo, why is my footage corrupted? What the fuck?
No, but I don't know. I'm kind of buying this.
I don't want to.
But it's all there.
I'm buying this, but I kind of do.
Oh my god! It's great to finally solve a case after 11 or 12 episodes. We finally solve one.
For the people that are listening, I want to quickly read out the steps to this game.
Go for it. I can't wait for our Korean...
I won't read all of them because it's kind of long, but I'll touch on them quickly.
I can't wait for our Korean listenership to just double over the next couple of days.
Learning how to play.
Step 1-6 is press the 4th floor, press the 2nd, press the 6th, press the 2nd, press the 10th, and press the 5th. All of those in order, and they all say do not proceed if someone enters the elevator or one of the players leaves the elevator.
Or you get arrested for fucking with an elevator.
From the beginning. Cool, whatever. Step 7. If a woman enters the elevator at the 5th floor, which is the final floor step, if a woman enters the elevator, do not look at her, do not speak, and don't talk to her. That woman is not a human. If you do, she will decide to keep you for her own.
Oh.
It's got real dark.
Step 8, press the first floor. Do not proceed if someone enters the elevator or if one of the players leaves. If someone does that, start from the beginning. The elevator will either descend or ascend. If the elevator reaches the first floor, leave and do not look back in capitals.
You know they're serious.
And the final step, if the elevator reaches the 10th floor, leave and do not respond to the woman if she asks where are you going. Or what's wrong? Maybe that's who she was talking to.
Oh,
oh no.
Why does this work?
Her voice will be high when she asks that.
High pitched or high?
Alright, I have another theory to throw you guys that links into this Korean one as well.
Alright.
So where is it? So this situation could be evidence of paranormal activity, which is what we're kind of discussing. Conspiracy theorists believe that the timestamp of the footage skips forward a minute, and the fact that it appears Lam is communicating with someone that cannot be seen. So, people have theorized that a little timestamp on the video actually moves forward a minute of, footage that just isn't there.
Well, how is that paranormal? That could just be, tampering.
No, I got a better theory. She actually did go to the other world for a brief minute, and the footage we can just not see with our human eyes, so it skips forward on us.
I would be more inclined to believe that, the cameras can't capture this other world.
Yeah, even better.
So, it's not like a thing that we can't see, it's that the camera, frequency, or, maybe this other world is, an EMP. Well, wait, no, the other world is an EMP, because we know electronics don't work.
Yeah,
because
elevators don't work, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't say elevators don't work. It says electronics, full stop, don't work.
Oh, shit.
So that would explain why the cameras don't work.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Alternatively, that something happened in the hotel and they cut out the footage to save their face, but I like this theory better because it doesn't make sense when you think about it long enough.
Did you guys think that when we started this, we would end up going into, like, a Korean paranormal ghost other dimension game?
Oh, God, I hope so, because this is going to be my favourite spin-off pod. Welcome to the Korean Horror Hour.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the merch will be sick.
Alright, I've got a couple more good ones.
Alright.
Only people that leave at the 10th floor will go to the other world. Cool. Getting back to your own world may be more difficult than it seems. You may become disoriented.
Ooh.
Forget which elevator you arrived. The elevator may seem to get further and further away from you as you walk towards it. So, as far as we know, this game screws with, like, your reality. Like,
yeah.
How you perceive reality.
So that kind of makes sense with...
That could make sense with the, you know, like, she's talking to someone that isn't actually there.
I like how this, all these theories have to preset with us having to believe that this Korean game works and is real. And that's my favourite thing.
Know.
Who am I?
Maybe we're all in this game.
God, I hope so. Can't wait to get off at the 5th floor and just become someone's slave because I talk to a female.
Isn't that how you live life now, anyway? Are we ever going to get Korean viewers on this?
No, I think we've lost them all.
We've lost all of them, all three of them.
Why am I listening to Month going down? Crazy.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, I'm kind of, like, high-key buying this elevator game idea.
Jesus Christ.
I think I'm going to go with it.
I'm happy that we found a solution for you.
Podcast over, guys. Solved. Cops, come and call us. We'll collect our rewards soon.
I think we can just end all crime at this point.
Yeah. No, crime is over, everyone.
We did
crime
it, boys.
Crime is
cancelled. Mr. Obama, we did it.
No, oh. I'm spent. I got no more ideas. I think elevator idea. Let's go.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on, Nick.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome.
Once again, thanks to Nick for being on the podcast. If you guys also want to be on the podcast, feel free to ask us in our DMs, Twitter, Instagram, or just, you know, send us a message somehow. You can bring a case or we can just add you on one.
We'd love to hear your theories as well. Now, Brody, speaking of theories, has got a few more for us.
Well, after we've solved the case, I think it's best to give a runner-up sort of award.
Do we have any that are not involving Korean games or Supernatural?
We have a lot.
Okay.
So, people have also speculated that her behaviour can be explained by possible use of psychedelic drugs.
Yep.
However, toxicology report. I'm so bad at this. That kind of suggests that the only medication she was taking was...
Her medication for her bipolar.
Yeah. So, I'm not too happy to go with that one, just because of the evidence saying that's probably not the case. Her actions in the elevator could also be seen as her hiding from a pursuer. So, people speculated that her kind of getting in the elevator, looking around, hiding, that sort of thing.
Yeah, when I first saw the footage, that was the most likely what was going on to me.
I think it's the... Because, like, when you watch it without context, your next thought is, oh, someone's
on the other side that we can't see.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, obviously, somehow helped her into the tank.
Other people, a bit more conspiracy here, have said that the hotel has covered up for, obviously, a person or something, either hunting her down or... getting her by deleting the footage or just not releasing certain things.
Is there a conspiracy theory that Richard Ramirez came back to life and hunted her down?
Well, I think that would rank below the Korean theory and ones that have probably happened.
Yeah.
So due to her bipolar disorder, Lam could have been suffering from a manic episode, as we've probably discussed several times before here. Her autopsy report showed that she had taken her prescribed stimulus, but not her stabilizers for her condition.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's taken part of her medication, but not all of it.
Is there any evidence as to why she made that decision?
No. Like I said, because she was by herself in America, the only contact
could
she had with her parents...
Could it just be a lapse of...
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's several times I get up in the morning and forget to put glasses on.
Yeah, till you realise you can't see me.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes people just forget to do things. So I assume you have, like, we've all had medication we forgot to take at one point.
Yep.
So, once again, the paranormal activity. The hotel is known to be a kind of a horror grounds. A lot of paranormal sightings and, you know, murders have happened in the hotel. So, if you're big on... I'm not big on ghosts. I know I always joke about ghosts, but if you're big on ghosts, that's probably another thing, that she was haunted by the spirits of the hotel. And that led her...
they helped her get in the tank?
Yeah. Okay. So, that's a theory. And this is the most out there one, but it's the freakiest one in terms of coincidences.
Is it the most likely one?
No.
Okay.
So, I think the most likely one is easily...
the Korean game.
No.
Oh.
The one Nick said before, where she was just pressed the wrong button, got panicked, had a...
an accident.
Yeah, and was an urban explorer, so
yep.
That fits into it. But during the time this was taking place, there was a
tuberculosis
drug that was being studied in the area near the Cecil Hotel. And this drug was known as Lamb-Eliza. There is no known link between the two. It's just a big coincidence. Are you not going
to tell me that she engaged in drug trials or something for it?
Well, I mean, that's the theory, right? That the drug was named after her because she was involved in it. But Lamb actually stands for something to do with tuberculosis. It's a big, like, scientific word that's been shortened to Lamb.
That's just a weird, like...
the biggest coincidence I've ever heard of. But they're all the theories for this case. Mm-hmm. Which one do you reckon is the most plausible?
I'm just going to quickly touch on the Korean one. I know that's a bit of a joke and a bit of a meme.
Yeah.
But it does all add up. It is like, no, don't look at me like that. I know you're laughing at me. No one else can see that, but he's laughing at me. But, like, look at it. It's all there.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's crazy, and I legitimately don't think that's what happened, but that is insane how well that justifies and explains her actions.
I think the problem is that with the spread of the internet, there are so many of these little games or creepy...
Who's to say this game wasn't, like, made up or something around after her death?
I'm pretty sure this game precedes her.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But, I mean, look at all the creepypastas that have been written over the last years. Like, we're talking tens of thousands of pieces of work that have been written. You could find one of those kind of stories or urban legends to fit any kind of crime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what's to say the next case that comes up, we don't just look at each other and say... they looked in the mirror and said Bloody Mary three times, and that's why they died. Yeah. They watched a DVD that was actually spooked, and then they died.
Alright, I'll move on. When I first watched the footage, as I said before, I thought it likely that she was afraid of someone, and her actions were that she was displaying was that she was running away from someone and trying to escape. And I mean, that's what her body language does say. Like, she's erratically pressing all the buttons, you know, trying to get the doors closed.
Yeah.
But then when they do finally... yeah, that little bit at the end where they finally do close when she steps out.
Yeah, the elevator was clearly working, but it wasn't working while she was using it, either because she mashed the buttons or... as Nick was alluding to the theory earlier, that she pressed the holding button and then got confused why the doors weren't closing, leading to getting her panicked and kind of high stress.
The next sort of thing I want to think about is... getting out that door, the alarm, could that have just been bypassed by someone that worked there? Not implying that it was... what was your friend's name, the maintenance worker?
Oh, Santiago.
Santiago. Not implying Santiago at all, but that's one way. Either it was faulty or someone who maybe worked at the hotel was able to bypass it.
But now you're missing motive.
Maybe they had... yeah, but maybe they had an infatuation with her. Maybe they knew her.
But now you're implying an infatuation relationship. I'm implying
a lot of things.
See, the problem is that we're both big components of people not just committing crimes because they feel like it.
No.
There's normally a motive, there's normally a reason, there's normally an issue or an unmet need that leads people to want to do this, and I just don't see that crime.
Because what I don't understand is the lack of how that tank door got opened and how it was able to be shut by her on her own.
See, that's the thing. I saw some attempt... some people... because I read a lot of theories, this is an internet sleuth case, so I read a lot of that sort of stuff. And some people were saying the door wasn't as hard as they made it out to be. Some people were saying that, like Nick said, the lid was maybe open for it. Some people were saying that the hotel lied about how hard it was to get into those tanks to cover up a lawsuit from the family. Because if you think about it, if those tank doors are easy to get into and close, and that gets out, then the hotel immediately get sued by the family for wrongful death.
The next question is, why would she be getting in a tank kind of thing? I get that she was an adventurer and a thrill seeker.
But she was also maybe going for a manic stage and had shown to not have her medication
that's
properly.
The only solution that would make.
She probably, maybe, okay, we take the meme of the Korean game, right? Maybe she did believe in it. Maybe she thought she was trapped in another world. Maybe she thought she was being pursued. Either way, a good place to hide is a tank. That's the thing. They didn't do a... It took them...
3 weeks to find the body.
Yeah, more. And even when her parents said she's missing, like, we can just assume that based on the lack of 24 hours and the fact they didn't... Like, they even with the footage release, they couldn't find her, even though she was still in the hotel, that the search wasn't very well done.
Mm.
It took 3 weeks to find her body, Rob. She was decaying up there for possibly... Like, that's the thing. We don't even know if she died... immediately after the elevator, like within those 3 weeks, she could have died. We're not
the coroner wasn't able to determine.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But even if she was, like, there's still massive gaps where we just don't know what happened. She could have went somewhere. She could have been with people.
I mean, if they ruled that, you know, she'd been in there a couple of days before she did finally drown, I could probably see the likelihood in, like, her being under a manic episode or something like that. But
especially with her being shown not to take the.
Yeah, she's not taking the other half of...
Her medication.
Medication.
Yeah. And the fact that she contacted her parents every single day apart from the day before her death.
When she didn't take her medication completely.
That's the other thing too, right? She didn't contact her parents the day before, so... Like, the elevator thing happened the day after, so what happened that night that made her not want to contact her parents? The promise she made to go to America in the first place, and the thing that she had done consistently the nights before.
Mm.
So, something's happened there.
I don't know, this case is just... There's so many avenues, as Nick said. There's so many ways you can go about this one.
Yeah, because it's so open-ended. It feels very Somerton Man, if we didn't have the Somerton Man book evidence.
Yeah, like this...
You just find...
You got your crazy...
Yeah, you have a eyewitness or video footage of something happening before, then you have the aftermath of the body, and you have hours to fill in with headcanon.
Exactly. And, yeah. And you've got 3 weeks to get rid of any evidence, too, if it was someone that helped you get in there.
The problem I have is, why doesn't a hotel have lobby cameras?
Mm, right? And only elevator cameras.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right? Like, if
why don't they have cameras on the roof?
These are the questions, right? Like, this hotel has been around since the 1920s. It's been known to...
It's been known to have these sort of, like, unfortunate...
You could claim maybe a money issue, but that's just negligence, dude. You're going to have cameras, even just to protect your shit, right? Like, belongings go missing, people get hurt. You should have cameras. Anyway, so what are our thoughts on the case?
Well, those were my thoughts. What were yours?
I think that the first theory is the strongest one.
Just coming back. I do like Nick's, that she was an adventurer kind of person. Yeah. I like his reasoning for how she got out there.
That's the theory I saw most commonly touted as what probably happened.
But then, as you said, there's almost like a conjecture between how... You got theories that are talking about how she... What happened in the elevator.
Yeah.
But then none that sort of link up to the roof. How she got in the...
Yeah, except I think... Maybe, okay, this is how I think it happened, right? Headcanon here. The elevator thing, she pressed the wrong button, got a bit disturbed, maybe a bit anxious, a bit, you know, hyped up. Was an explorer, so made her way to the roof, climbing up the fire thing, like Nick said. Was probably climbing for a better vantage point for photos or cameras. Fell into the tank because the roof wasn't securely shut or wasn't shut at all. Then this was covered up to stop a wrongful death. But the other issue here is... In order to cover it up, the hotel didn't come up with an alternative story.
No.
Normally when you cover something up, that's negligence. You have another story to go with it. Or why did she take off her things? So my fear was she was taking a better photo, right?
Why has she got naked all of a sudden?
Even if the phone had pictures of her taking vantage point shots, which would be used against the hotel to show that's what she was doing, when that phone falls in water, it's getting fried anyway.
This case.
Yeah.
It's just, you think you're almost there, and then it's like, but that also doesn't add up.
If there's a dead body floating in water, exposed to the elements, animals are picking at that. There's birds that can fly up and have a shot. There's wild animals who will scale, find a way up to high vantage points to get food. Like, that's a lot of just... And also, her body would decay quicker if it was exposed to things like light and heat and that sort of thing. The smell would be insane. Like, there's so many factors there that don't add up.
I feel so sorry for those guests, though.
I feel so sorry for her parents.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they said to her, like, if you do this, there's a risk. And she said, I'll talk to her every night. And that's, they thought it was going fine. And then, you know, all of a sudden, she just stops communicating. And next thing they know, their daughter's got this weird elevator tape that...
it's gone viral.
Everyone's seen, especially at the time. And now you've got, you know, like, her body's hanging out 3 weeks later. Anyway...
thank you for tuning in for another episode, and thanks once again to Nick for jumping in. As always, and as Brody said, feel free to message us on all the social medias if you'd like to request a case, you'd like to leave us a voice message requesting a case, or you'd even like to be a part of the podcast.
Yeah, sorry for getting sad there at the end like we always do, but these cases typically do wear out sad. But next week, we have a lighter one, not a murder case for once. We are doing the 2008 Crashgate scandal from F1, which... is a look at a crime that doesn't break country laws or anything, but breaks actual internal body laws.
FIA laws.
Yeah. So sporting laws, that sort of thing. So we'll see you guys next time, and have a good week. Bye.
I've been Robin.
I've been Brody.